6 this morning. Have a few newsletters up here. If your family has not received your newsletter, please come up here. We have some left on the table. The others went in the mail this week, so if you have not received them yet, you should receive them early next week. Be much in prayer for the church.
Amen.
As we begin the country, the church begins to come back to life. Amen. Kind of been shut down and cut down, and things are changing a little bit. So just pray that we'll have wisdom and God will have us will and way in everything we do.
That's right.
You know, you're supposed to obey the laws of the land, but the fact of the matter is God's law supersedes.
Yeah.
So, Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Finishing up with Galatians in the next couple of weeks, we're going to go right into the book of Ephesians, begin to study there. It's been a good study, I think.
Yeah.
Hope it's been a help to you as far as your salvation and where it comes from and what it lies in and the fact that we are secure in Christ. So much in this Bible hinges on the phrase of in Christ. That's where the Calvinists go wrong. They get in Christ mixed up. When you are in Christ, you are spiritually born again. And there's promises in the Bible to those that are in Christ that this world just can't claim. You can't claim it because you are in the local assembly. Thank God for the church, but being in Christ, being born again, so much hinges on that. The first two chapters was Paul's section, and he spoke of the gospel and where he received it, and that we were supposed to keep that gospel pure, because that's what salvation is, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then chapters 3 and 4 were a doctrinal section, and we spoke of a lot of Abraham and the book of Romans and the book of Genesis about our salvation and how it was promised from God through that line down to Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all those that believe. The law just will not do it anymore. It cannot save you nor keep you saved.
Right.
And chapter 5 and chapter 6 are the practical section of the book. How do we apply that to our life? You know, you can be gun barrel straight doctrinally and just as empty spiritually. I've heard that said. And we need to know doctrines, need to know what this Bible says, but if you do not apply it to your life, you're spinning your wheels is what you do. And that's where the rubber meets the road, when you apply the things that God reveals to you in His book to your life. And chapter 5 began with the liberty we have in Christ. And that liberty we know is to not serve ourselves and our flesh anymore, but to serve others. We've been talking about the acronym JOY. Jesus, others, then yourself. Don't we as 21st century Christians have that flip-flopped and backwards?
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's all about us and our wants and our needs and our desires. And we begin to talk about walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're contrary one to another. Your flesh and the Spirit are contrary one to another. One of them's going to win in your life. And if you've been born again by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit indwells, and your flesh does not have to dominate and win in your life. It just doesn't have to anymore. When you were lost, you were fighting a losing battle. If you've been born again by the grace of God, the victory's been won. It's just up to us as Christians to live out that victory through Jesus Christ. And so chapter 6 this morning, we'll talk about some more practical things in our life. Look at verse number 1. Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ain't that just all mixed up in your church? Confess your sins one to another. You ever heard that? Dad, you better not be doing none of that. We're going to talk about that. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. But you just said, bear one another's burdens. We're going to talk about that also. Verse number 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Brother John Locklear, would you pray for us, brother?
Dear Father, thank you once again for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray for
Touch us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Use them to hide behind the cross, Lord. They give us the word of God, Lord. The need and plight for our lives, Lord. We pray that we come to seek after you this morning, Lord. To hear from you, to grow, Lord. We pray that we'll also hear the word of God. We'll be saved today for praying today. For the ones that are out and sick, Lord, it's the first and the first for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Chapter 5 had a bunch of lists, didn't it? The lust of the works of the flesh, and adultery and fornication. And then it had a list of the works of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And that's joy and peace and love and these things. And list of do's and do nots and should nots. And chapter 6 has some ways that we should apply that spiritual walk in our lives toward ourselves and toward others. First one I want us to see is our spiritual walk towards fallen brethren. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, brethren, that's saved people, right?
Amen.
It says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If a man be overtaken in a fault, let me tell you, a fault is not a sin. People get that confused and mixed up, and I'm sure we've all heard somebody say, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another. So you need to get up in church and confess your sin. Look, there's been more stuff tore up and more families tore up and more churches tore up by people getting up and taking something that was private and making it public. If something needs to be made public, that man right there is going to make it public. That's his burden. That's his burden. I'm not saying you shouldn't get things right with people. If things is done publicly, needs to be taken care of publicly, and there's nothing wrong with confessing your faults, the Bible says we should. Then you hear what the book of James says, confess your sins one to another. The book of James in James 5 and 16 says, confess your faults one to another. A fault. A fault is something wrong in our character that we didn't put there. It's not a sin. A sin is an overt deed or fault or things that we did. A fault is something that's in there that you did not put in there. You know, you smoke crack for 20 years and you have that desire, that's not a fault. That's something you put there. Lust, greed, unthankfulness, depression, anxiety, fear, a spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. If you have the spirit of fear about you, it's a fault. And it may not be nothing necessarily you did. Some children are just greedy. Some children are just mean. That's just the way they are. And some faults are more pronounced than others. A knot in a wood is a fault. Not nothing happened to it. That's just the way that piece of wood grew. And if you use it in the wrong spot, you know what it's going to do? It's going to give out. A fault in the earth's crust. That's where all them earthquakes take place. We were in Montana one time. We had an earthquake out there, and we felt that thing a little bit. Not like one of them California knock your building down earthquakes, but some of you may have felt some here before. But a fault in the earth's crust is a place where the crust is broken. If a failure is going to happen, right, it's probably going to happen at the fault. Right. It's good to know what your faults are as an individual. Now, I'm not going to point yours out, right? We're good at that. We can find somebody else's fault quick and in a hurry. But what about our own faults? Not our overt sin, transgression of God's law in our lives, but our faults, the things and flaws in our character. Do we know them? You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And David fell at his fault. Now, I've heard it preached that no, the devil's going to get you at your strong point. And David fell. David's strong point was his integrity. And David failed with his integrity. David fell at his fault. Hold your place here. We're going to come back and turn with me to 1 Samuel 25. Let's look at something about David. Now, this is King David. Man, this ain't David down the road. David down the road liable to steal the rims off your car. This is King David. A man after God's own heart. Look at 1 Samuel 25. And look at verse number 42. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 25 and 42, and Abigail hastened and arose. This is the wife of Nadab. He had died, and so David's going to marry. And Abigail hastened and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messenger of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. Now let me ask you a question. What's a man need with two wives? I ought to get some amens there from somebody. What's a man need with two wives? Something's going on there, right? Now turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5 with me. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And look at verse number 13. So here's David. He became king over all Israel. Look at 2 Samuel 5 and 13. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron. So he had two wives. And one's about all a man needs. So he had twice as many as a man needs. And he comes to Jerusalem and he takes more. You know what David's problem was? David had a problem with women. He did. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a good man, but he had a problem with women. And that fault that he had, that was in him, when he saw Bathsheba, that's where he fell at, his fault. That's what the Bible says. If a failure's going to happen, it's going to be at your fault, no matter what it is. Some people don't have a problem with lust. Some people do. Same one don't have a problem with lust to be a greedy dog. Covetous. And his son Solomon inherited that thing. That dude had 1,000 wives and concubines. That's what the Bible says. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's see what happened to Solomon and his father. 1 Kings chapter number 11. 1,000. Man, that is a lot. That's a lot. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 3. And he, speaking of Solomon, had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Richest man on the face of the planet. His wealth didn't turn him. Wisest man. God gave him wisdom above all others. His wisdom didn't turn him. You know what turned him? His wives turned his heart, his problem, his fault that Solomon had with women. That's where he failed. Just because God allowed multiple wives don't mean that you had to have multiple. Abraham had one. She died, he got another one. Isaac had one. Job had one. It was God allowed it for some reason, but it wasn't a requirement. The fault of lustful desire for women caused David to fall when he saw Bathsheba. He was overtaken in a fault. Now turn back to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, just because you have a fault does not mean you sin, but you can be overtaken in that fault. Yes, sir. That fault can cause you to sin and fall in the eyes of God. And when someone's in that position and realizes it and repents, It's up to you and I to restore. I mean, repentance, right? We got a whole lot of repentance going on today, don't we? You know? Preacher makes a mess, the TV preacher, and gets caught doing things, and he gets up on TV and he's done wrong and he repents and he's preaching. And the only sermon he can all of a sudden find is about that beam in the eye and the mote and judge not that you be not judged. That's all of a sudden the only scripture he can find. Ain't that something? Now, we're going to restore someone. The Bible tells us how to do it. And our way is not God's way. You know, we as people might be too hard on them. We as two people might be too easy on them. Just act like nothing happened. God tells us how to do it. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. First off, you got to be spiritual. All saved people are not spiritual. All saved people, we saw, are led of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in him, and he's trying to lead and guide, but everybody ain't listening. If you're going to restore someone that's been overtaken in a fault, a brother, a sister, you got to be spiritual. You have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and know what God's book says about it. That's the first requirement. You got to be spiritual yourself. A whole lot of people trying to restore people, and they themselves need to be restored. You know what you do when you restore something? You take an old beat down piece of junk and make it new. That's what you do. Not only should we be spiritual, the Bible says we should do it in the spirit of meekness. We should be meek while we're doing it. You know why? Because we sinned also. We might didn't get caught. We might have done it in our heart and not openly in the flesh like that brother or sister did. But the fact of the matter is we don't have much of any reason to be looking our nose down at people. We should restore people in the spirit of meekness because we have sinned also. Dr. Ruttman said, a dog's got just enough fleas to remind him that he's a dog. You got just enough things that's still in your life, and we shouldn't get so holy that we can't help people. Which is how it is. And not only that, the Bible says we should considering thyself, that we don't get tainted and fall into the same situation. Some people get so consumed with people and they're around them and in it, the next thing you know, they're doing the exact same thing. And you say, how can that happen? It can happen. Has happened and will happen, I suppose, till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and wraps this thing up. That's how we should restore someone. You remember that man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that had his father's wife? Terrible sin. And Paul said, turn that dude over to Satan. That's what he said. But then in 2 Corinthians, he comes back and he talks about that guy. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. Paul comes back and talks about that guy. He said the punishment is sufficient. This guy had realized he was wrong. He was a brother. He was in the church. He had realized he was wrong. He had realized that he had done wrong and made a mess. Let's see what Paul says about it. He says some more stuff about restoring. Look at verse number 5. 2 Corinthians 2 and 5. Paul said, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Paul said, I just don't want to beat you down too bad. Look what he says in verse 6. Sufficient to such a man as this punishment which was inflicted of many. He had been punished. He had been chastised, ostracized. And Paul said, the punishment is sufficient. Look at verse 7. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love towards him. And he goes on down and say, if you don't, then Satan's going to get the advantage of us. So how should we restore when we restore? Restore includes what Paul said right there, forgiveness. You're here to forgive and forget. Man, that sounds great. But you ain't never forgotten nothing. You ought to. I have forgot things that only the Lord knows that I should have remembered. But you better believe something that I'd be better off forgetting. It ain't never left my mind. That's your finite carnal mind. That's what that is. But we should forgive. Forgive is like love. People talk about, I fell in love. You know what you can do? You can fall right out of love just as quick as you fall in it. But when you make a conscious decision to love somebody, that's different, isn't it? You're going to love them regardless. So it involves forgiveness. It involves comfort. You ever had to tell anybody, that's all right. You made a stinking and flat-footed mess. That's what you did. But it's all right. You know why? Because we've all made flat-footed messes. It involves comfort. It involves love. Love. We're going to speak in a minute about love and the Spirit of Christ. But that's what restoration involves. Now, I want to say this because this is necessary in our day and place and time. It does not necessarily mean restoration to the same place or position immediately. Just doesn't. Now, that's what the TV evangelists will tell you. And I've fallen and made a mistake and I've done this and that and it's wicked, but you know what? Shouldn't be any consequences, anything. We're just going to keep on rocking like we've been rocking. Hey, let me give you a piece of advice. Don't let David watch your harem. If you got a harem, don't put David over the charge of it. Because you're going to have problem in your harem, amen? Why? Because David had a fault. Right. David got caught. David sinned. You know, I was preparing this lesson and praying and thinking. And I thought about Joseph when he was in jail. You remember Joseph was in jail? And two men got put in there with him. Yep. One of them was a butler. One of them was a baker. Yep. And the scripture said that they had offended Pharaoh. Now, we've been studying that old Big Thun Teresh. Y'all know them boys and Esther. That's the two that made a plot on the king, right? That doesn't say, but these men, one of them baked for the king. And when the butler was the store that said that he put the cup back in the Pharaoh's hand, I believe it was the cupbearer. The butler was, and the baker, and I believe it was somehow that they were said there was some kind of assassination plot. That's just what I personally believe. That's my belief. Cupbearer was an important man. That's what Nehemiah was. Before he gave that cup to that king, he had to taste that thing. So if there was any poison in it, he was going to get it, not the king. He was an important man, wasn't he? But these two had offended the king, and one of them was found innocent and restored to his position. One of them was found guilty, and they hanged him. And I know it's not exactly the same thing, but my whole point is, if we've done wrong and we've sinned, we might not get put right back in the same place, because it basically comes down to, it's not all about us. Right? If you get caught embezzling money at work, you probably ain't going to be treasured around here. Now, I don't run my Sunday school lessons by the pastor. I talk to him about the scripture. I talk to him, but he doesn't like check off on my messages. I hadn't run this by him, but I don't feel like I'm out of line. You steal a couple hundred thousand dollars down at work, you ain't going to handle the books here. We got other people, amen? If you are a registered offender, and we all know what I mean, you ain't never working with the children. Just ain't. There's plenty of grass to cut. Some of these men will give up their position, I feel sure. So just because you're restored, it doesn't mean you might not step right back in, but it also doesn't mean that God doesn't have something for you to do. And if you repent, if a person's repented and their heart's right, I don't believe there's going to be a problem with that. I've seen a problem with that in this church. Man got right, came back, hallelujah, shout and come in. And the first time he don't get caught on the preach, you never hear him again. I've seen it. Why? It was a heart problem. What the restoration problem? It was a heart problem is what it was. His heart still wasn't right. That's what the Bible says. We have more to consider than just one person.
Right.
Turn back to Galatians chapter 6. So we see our spiritual walk towards fallen brethren. Not only that, look at verse number 2. We see our spiritual walk, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We see our spiritual walk towards those with burdens. Look at verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. A burden is a load or weight. It can be physical. It can be emotional. But they all affect the spiritual. Physical and emotional things in your life affect you spiritually. They happen to all of us. Sometimes we need help. And that verse says, if you bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now the law of Christ, that's a higher law than the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law says, thou shalt not kill. That's a good thing. Don't be killing people. But just because you don't kill somebody, don't mean you love them either, does it? The law of Christ is the law of love. Hold your place here. Turn to John chapter 15. When we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. Look at John 15, verse number 12, familiar scripture. Jesus speaking to his disciples. John 15, 12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Bearing one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ is the law of love. Just like Christ loved you and I. You know what love will do? Love will take something on itself that it doesn't have to. Love will go out of the way. Love will take harm to itself that somebody else's burden might be eased. That's what love will do. The law didn't do that. The Mosaic law didn't require that. It was do's and don'ts. It was physical, it was the flesh, it was not a heart issue. The law of Christ is a heart issue. Look at Galatians 5 and verse number 14. We read this a couple weeks ago. Galatians 5 and 14. It says, for all the law was fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I read this week. It says, you can't spell brothers without others. And that's all. You know what love will do? Love will love people and help people and lift people up when they're unlovely. Y'all are a lovely bunch of people. Y'all sitting here saved and clothed and in your right mind. But there's times that we're all unlovely. Your wife sees it. As my wife. Your husband sees it. Your family sees it more so than when you come to church. Because we can bottle that thing up and dial down on it for an hour or two, can't we? The law of Christ or bear one another's burdens and take things upon themselves when it's not required, when it's not necessary, just because that we love the brethren. Now the Pharisees loaded people up, Jesus said. He said they loaded people up with burdens heavy to be borne. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Let me show you what Jesus did. First sermon I ever preached, I preached out of this description. Now, I hadn't been saved long, and I hadn't figured out what I deserve. You know, we saved for a while, we figured out what we deserve. I deserve all this. All this I got. Ain't drank liquor in 10 years. I deserve all this. You know what we deserve? A hot, fiery, forever burning hell is what we deserve. I ain't been saved long, and I hadn't figured out what all I deserve yet. And scriptures like this broke my heart. Jesus said those Pharisees laden people with loads heavy to be borne. He said they wouldn't lift a finger to help. Right. Jesus came. You know what Jesus did?
Right.
Look at verse number 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You're heavy laden? You're laboring? No, I'm fine, brother. You know somebody that ain't. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." Well, why should I bear other people's burdens? I got enough to bear. Because somebody bore all of yours. And he didn't take your emotional burdens. And he didn't just take your physical, financial burdens. He took the burden of your sin and bore it on that cross. That's why we bear one another's burdens. That's why the Bible calls it the law of Christ. The letter, law of Moses, kills. Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, it gives life. That's what the Bible says. Well, that's a blessing. Turn back to Galatians chapter 6 with me. Boy, I'm doing all that. I done restored some brethren. You know how we are. I done restored some brethren. And I done borne some people's loads that I ain't have to just because I love them. So therefore, I am the most wanted is. My pastor taught me that phrase. I'm going to be laying on my bed, lost my mind, mumbling, "The most wanted is, the most wanted is." Drooling it in the mouth. Well, I done all that. So therefore, I have arrived. I got some news for you. If Paul in the book of Philippians hadn't arrived, chances are you and I, we ain't arrived yet. I'm the most wanted is. So Paul wrote this about restoring rather than bearing one another's burdens. And the very next thing he goes into is your spiritual walk towards ourselves. Your walk towards yourself. Look what he says. It says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Boy, it's bad enough to lie to somebody else, ain't it? You know, somebody get backed up in a corner and just got to tell a lie to get out of it, right? But you gonna lie to yourself. "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Don't too think too highly of yourself when you and I have the opportunity to help somebody.
Amen.
People need help. And I know I am bad about not understanding people's problems. My wife said, "Amen." Y'all didn't hear. I'm just bad about it. But you know what? When you do help somebody, we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves. You know why? Because it's going to be you who need help tomorrow. And we help someone and pray for someone, and it may seem like something trivial, and what's the big deal? You better not think too highly about yourself, how spiritual we are, because it's going to be us that need some kind of help tomorrow that other people don't have a problem with. You ever notice that about your problems? The things I struggle with, other people just don't seem to struggle with. Why? Because I got my faults and you got your faults. Amen. Spiritual people, that verse 5 says every man should bear his own load. Spiritual people should be able to bear their own load while bearing some of the load for others. We all need help at times, don't we? But as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole purpose behind getting closer to the Lord is you being able to take yours and a little bit of somebody else's. That's the whole purpose behind growth. Why else would it matter if we grew spiritually and matured in Jesus Christ? It's so that we can help other people and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ while we're doing it. Somebody been saved 6 months, might not be able to do but so much. If you've been saved 25 years, you ought to be able to tote your load most of the time and helping somebody else too. That's a balance. We all need help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for prayer. It's a balance in our lives. The Bible in 2 Corinthians 10 talked about comparing ourselves among ourselves. Man, I can preach, and I can teach, and I can paint, and I can lay the stinking brick, and I can pull the wires. I can do all that. And so-and-so can't do nothing but clean up the church. Brother, I've helped my wife clean the church. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd much rather lay the brick and pull the wires than have cleaned the stinking church. We shouldn't compare ourselves among ourselves. You know what that brings about in your life and in your church, in your home, when you're comparing yourself? And I know I'm just going, this, look, that's my wife, and I'm going to talk about me and my wife all I want to. I'll bear the brunt when I get home. We are guilty of whatever we're doing more than the other one. Y'all ain't like that, are you? I know y'all ain't like that, so I don't know, somebody at home. I'm preaching to somebody at home. Whatever I'm doing, it's worse and more important and harder than what my wife's doing, and vice versa. You know what that brings about? Pride. You know what the Bible says about pride? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know what's ahead of that, leading that way? Problem in your marriage, in your church? Pride.
Yes, sir.
As we grow spiritually, we should be able to bear our own load and help others. But don't look down at someone who needs help from bearing theirs from time to time. Man, I thank y'all for praying for me this week. I appreciate it. I ain't just blowing smoke. I appreciate it. It's a bad thing not to be able to see. There's been some things I wish I hadn't seen, amen. But not being able to see is a terrible thing. Turn back to Galatians chapter 6. Going to finish up here. It's time. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse number 6. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate it to him that teacheth in all good things. Man, you might hear the pastor preach about anything, but you probably ain't going to hear him preach much about this. It's hard to get up in the pulpit and preach about that. So therefore, I'm going to. Amen. Preach, preacher. Let him that is taught in the word. Who is that? That's you. We got a pastor. He's a spiritual leader. He's preaching. He's teaching. He's guiding your spiritual walk, your spiritual life. That's you and I. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. He's given us spiritual things. These men that come in and preach revivals giving us spiritual things. Missionaries going out giving people spiritual things. Therefore, we should communicate to their carnal needs. Their carnal needs. I thought about this. Miss Tammy has been giving me plants and bushes and flowers, and she won't take nothing for it. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do one day. I'm going to bring a bag of pot soil and put that thing in the back of Brother Terry's truck, and ain't nothing he can do about it. He can not give it to her. He can ride around. But you know why I'm doing that? Because I'm selfish. Because if she takes that, she might give me some more stuff. Amen? When we meet the carnal needs are the spiritual leaders, those leading in God. You know what we're doing? We're just being selfish, because the more we give them and the more we take care of them, the more they're going to give us the spiritual things, and that's what we need to get by in this old world. We can make a stinking dollar. It's the spiritual things that you and I need help with. We should take care of the pastor's needs to the point where it's not a concern for him, so he can concentrate on our spiritual needs. That's a biblical principle. That was what? 35, 40 minutes worth. You know what that is right there. I was studying this thinking, Lord, help. You ever heard Preacher Wayne talking about loading somebody's wagon? That is enough to load my wagon if I live to be old as Methuselah. That's a lot, isn't it? You know, we so worried about things and things we don't know and this and that. When if we work, concern our spiritual walk towards fallen brethren, towards bearing people's burdens, toward ourselves, and taking care of our pastor and spiritual leaders, brother, if we get them things right there right in our life, a lot of these little things are going to take care of themselves.
Amen.
Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Brother Ronnie Wayne, close in prayer, brother.
Well, we thank you, God, for being so good to us.